Praise God. Well, as you have been hearing throughout the morning, we are in a season of 21 days of hunger. How many are hungry this morning? Come on, let me see your hands. How many are hungry? I don't mean for donuts, although that may be true. I'm talking about a hunger for the presence of God in your life. You're in a spot right now where you need breakthrough. You need God to show up, and if God doesn't show up, you're going to go down. You need a turnaround. You need the Lord to do something that only He can do. You need a divine intervention. How many know we serve a God who loves to bring divine interventions? Yes? Hallelujah. Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. That's what I wanted to talk to us today about. I wanted to talk to you about breakthrough. About breakthrough prayer, more specifically. 21 days of hunger. We are a church who believes in prayer. That's why we're doing this. It's 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we are just entering into our last week, our final week of prayer and fasting. And next Sunday night, we're going to bring everything to a climax with our celebration of praise at 6 o'clock right here in this sanctuary. And if you've attended our celebration of praise events in the past, then you know it's going to be an incredible event. How many have been to our celebrations before? Come on, let me see your hands up high. You've been to these and you want to make plans. Whatever you're planning on doing Sunday night, you need to be here. Clear your calendar and make sure you're here. There's going to be powerful worship with our brother Freddie Washington, and my friend Derek West is going to be here, who has an incredible testimony. He was a drug dealer down in Florida, and God just got a hold of his life, radically converted. Now he's a pastor, and his church is exploding up north. And he is just a powerful ministry. And we're gonna have a time of prayer. It's not just about the word. It's not just about worship. It's a time of prayer. So we're going to be seeking God, praying for lost family members and friends, praying for prodigal children to come home. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Right? And praying for financial turnaround, for blessings in our careers, and praying for healings, physical healings. How many can say amen to that? Right? Physical healing in your body, praying for our nation, praying for our military and for our first responders. So listen, this is more than just an opportunity. This is a call to arms. Hello? This is more than just, oh, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe I'll get excited and get blessed. It's not about that. It's not really about that. This is about our duty. This is about our responsibility as the body of Christ, who has been given authority as ambassadors and viceroys of a heavenly kingdom to call down the will of God in this earth. We have a responsibility to gather together to intercede. Amen? So this is more than just, hey, come and be blessed. This is a call to arms. So I want you to hear the seriousness in my voice right now, that we are in a season right now where the church needs to pray in America. Let me say it again. The church needs to pray in America. Hello? So, amen. It's going to be great worship, great word, but we're going to pray. And it's going to be some earth-shaking prayer. Amen. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Because I know you're here today and you're involved in 21 days because you need a breakthrough in your life. When I say breakthrough, what I'm talking about is you're in a place right now in some area in your life where you are stuck, where you have stopped in your progression. And it means that if God doesn't show up and bring a turnaround, that you're gonna go under. It's something that only God can do. It's something that only God can bring. It's a breakthrough, right? Amen? Amen? How many need a breakthrough? Let me see your hand. All right, about 80% of you. The other 20 are like, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Actually, I don't need any breakthroughs in my life. All you sinners. Listen, I want you to know something. Breakthroughs are for anybody who needs God to show up in their life. Maybe you don't need God to show up in your life, but you know somebody who needs God to show up in their life. Amen? Right? So breakthrough is for those of us right now who are in a battle, you're in a struggle, there is some kind of resistance, some kind of opposition in your life. The enemy is moving against the fulfillment of God's will in your life. And how many know whenever there's resistance and there's opposition, there's going to be a mess? How many know what I'm talking about, right? So some of you right now, you feel like your life is a mess, right? Amen? But I want to encourage you that Jesus loves messed up people. He loves messed up people. He loves getting right into that mess and speaking His word, because His word brings order to chaos. Hallelujah. His word brings His will. His will establishes His presence, His purpose, His destiny. He loves messed up people. So let me ask you again, how many messed up people do we have here today? Anybody? All right. Well, we lost a few on that. We're going backwards here, but that's okay. Amen. So I don't know what you're believing God for. Maybe your kids right now aren't serving God and they don't want to serve God. You need a breakthrough. I said you need a breakthrough. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you need the Holy Spirit to press down upon their lives and to convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? You need a breakthrough, and we believe in starting out the year right. We believe in starting out the year 2018 with prayer and fasting to say, Lord, this is the year. This is the year where the Holy Spirit interrupts my kids' life. This is the year where the Holy Spirit wakes them up in the middle of the night and they fall out of their bed, onto their knees by the side of their bed, and they cry out to God. Come on, do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think? Hallelujah. Maybe you're believing God for a breakthrough, a turnaround in your physical health. You've got sickness in your body or somehow in your family. You've seen the doctors. You've taken the medicine. I mean, you've done everything that they've told you to do, but you're sitting here today and you still have sickness. In fact, it even seems to be getting worse. But we believe in a God who heals. Hallelujah. He heals. And we believe that we're in starting this year off right, that this is going to be the year of your turnaround. This is going to be the year of miracles. Amen? Do we still believe that God does miracles? Amen? You know, we spend a lot of time in our pastoral staff praying for needs, praying for people that are sick, praying for people who need a miracle. And we need to start seeing more miracles. Amen, Lord. Lord, we know you're able, God. We know you're able, God. Hallelujah. We've seen miracles, Lord. We've heard it in your word, Lord God. We know that the miracles have happened. Lord, we're believing you for miracles. Let 2018 be the year of miracles in the Mission Church. Let this be a year of miracles. Amen? Hallelujah! Maybe you're in a place where you can't pay your bills financially. You're struggling. I mean, your debts keep mounting. You're paying your tithe, you're making your pledges, you're being generous, you're doing everything the Word says, but you're still struggling financially. At the end of your money, there's still too much month left over. Amen? Right? And you're believing God for a financial turnaround. You're believing God for a breakthrough. Because you've done everything you can do. Amen? Now you're believing God to do something. How many have seen these boards over here? These boards, right? I'm going to go down and take a look at the boards here. Amen. How many have read the boards? All right, about 7 people. All right. There are a lot of breakthroughs on this board right here and that board over there. Let me see your hand. If you put if you've written something down on one of these boards, let me see your hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Amen. These are people that are saying only God can do it. Only God can do it, and that's okay, Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Salvation for my son and parents. Blessing in my business and ministry. Hallelujah. Salvation for my husband. Believing for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a strengthening of godly relationships. Prayer to be hot and not lukewarm, as the Lord says. Amen. Amen. Father God, establish your will in my family. How many can say amen to that, right? Amen. Draw me closer to you. Pray for my mom. Pray for my mom. I can't read the rest of it, but Jesus knows it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We pray that our baby girl Reese's lungs would be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I pray that God in 2018 would constantly allow me to hear His voice. Amen. Believing for an outpouring and for breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Believing God will restore the bone in my jaw to support my tooth. Amen. Amen. I love specific prayers like that. Amen. Because when God does it, they say, only God, right? Only God. Only God could do this. Hallelujah. Fasting, believing, trusting in God alone. We need a miracle, Jesus. Amen. Reese Strong, hatch mark Reese Strong. All right. Amen. We're going to pray for Reese. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So many. I could go on all day. So many people in our church that are believing God for a breakthrough, and we believe that He is the God of breakthroughs. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I want you to look at your person next to you. Just look at him and say, you're going to get a breakthrough this year. Come on, tell somebody that. This year. Come on, tell them that with faith and conviction. This year is the time for your breakthrough. You're going to see a breakthrough this year. Hallelujah. But it's got to be more than just words. It's got to be more than just hype and just excitement, right? It's got to be based in the Word of God. When we talk about breakthrough and how breakthrough comes, it's got to be more than wishful thinking. We've got to have some principles at play here. We've got to have some authoritative precepts that we can stand upon and say, I can say confidently, breakthrough is coming because of what the Word of God says about breakthrough. So how does breakthrough come, right? Well, I want us to go to Daniel chapter 9. I want to look at Daniel. How many love the story of Daniel? One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. And I want to take a look at Daniel and give some examples about breakthrough prayer. A little history here. Daniel lived in the nation of Babylon. And the date here in which we pick up the story is 539 B.C. Everybody say B.C. Okay, that's before Christ. Not B.C.E., before Common Era. Before Christ, right? 539 B.C. Israel had been defeated by the Babylonian Empire in war. About 70 years earlier than this story we're about to read, they were defeated, humiliated. They were taken captive by the Babylonians into slavery, and they were brought as captives into the land of Babylon. This is the condition of the nation of Israel, and this is how Daniel got into Babylon. He was taken captive as a slave to Babylon. You see, Israel originally had been a people that God created to be blessed. And they were blessed. They were the most blessed, prosperous nation on earth. And for a while, as Deuteronomy 28 says, they were the head and not the tail. They were blessed in the city and they were blessed in the country. And God had just poured out his riches upon them. But because of their choices and their actions, Israel lost all of their wealth. They lost their health. They lost their prosperity, and they were a mess. Everybody say they were a mess. They were a mess because of consequences. How many believe in consequences? Amen? Consequences. I mean, we can declare and believe the Word of God all we want, but when we're making bad choices and bad decisions, there's a such thing as consequences. And as consequence, they were living now as slaves in Babylon, right? But how many know That even though we may make a mess of our lives and we may make many bad choices and we may be suffering consequences, that God still cares. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may find yourself right now in a season where your life is messed up, where you have made so many bad choices, where you're just a mess and you are facing all kinds of consequences. But I want to tell you something, that God still cares about you. He still cares. And we know from the Word of God that while we're in our mess, if we will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, God will hear from heaven and He will heal our lives. Hallelujah. This is what happened to Israel while they were slaves in Babylon. You know the story in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. I know I told you, Daniel, we're going to go there in just a second. You know the stories about Ezra and Nehemiah. You see, Israel was in a season of slavery and captivity, but God promised that He would bring them out of that season of slavery and captivity, and He would bring them back to their homeland in Jerusalem and Judah. And that's what the story of Ezra and Nehemiah is all about. The story of Ezra is about this priest named Ezra who got a vision from God to take people back. And the king, Cyrus, the king of Persia, gave them the permission to return to their homeland and rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. And then shortly after that, Nehemiah also had a vision to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem like that. And he got permission to do that. And so God brought them into this season of restoration. Hallelujah. They had made a lot of bad choices and they were suffering consequences. But God still cared. He didn't forget about them, and He loved them, and He brought them into a season of restoration. But here's the thing. Before that restoration came, before the breakthrough came, where Israel was permitted to return to their homeland, before that season came, there was a man named Daniel who prayed. I want you to get that. I want you to connect this. Before there was an Ezra and a Nehemiah going back to restore Jerusalem, there was a Daniel who prayed. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. Everybody say Jeremiah. That God would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And then go to chapter 10. So Daniel now, he's reading the writings of Jeremiah, just like we have the writings of Jeremiah in our Bible, in the Old Testament. He was reading the same writings that we read. And he, in there, discovered that the Lord prophesied that Israel would be taken into captivities for 70 years. And after 70 years, they would be returned home. And so he said, when I read that and I realized that, I set my face toward the Lord God to pray. Right? And then in Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, we're still in the season where Daniel is praying. And it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Talk about 21 days of hunger, right? Amen? There it is right there. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Here's Daniel. He reads what the word says, and he goes into a season of fasting. He's praying now. This is before Ezra and Nehemiah restored the Jews to Jerusalem. He's praying now for the breakthrough that would eventually become Ezra and Nehemiah. How many are following with me now? Okay? He's praying. Daniel sees what the will of God is, and he's praying for the breakthrough to come. There are a couple of lessons now that I want to draw out of Daniel in this story here. 3 points that I want to make about breakthrough prayer. And if you're going to pray breakthrough, and let this week be a week of intensity, turn up the heat. Come on, everybody say, turn up the heat. Let this be a week. Don't quiet down now. Amen? Come on, you got to push now. You're on the last week. Push, pray until something happens. Right? So as you're praying for breakthrough, there's three lessons that we can take away from Daniel. The first one is here. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 2, where Daniel says, he says, I understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel knew a breakthrough would come for Israel. How? Because the word of God stated it. Are you getting this, right? So the first rule of breakthrough is this. You have to know God's word. You have got to know what God's word says about your situation, whatever it may be. Daniel had a word from the word of God for his situation. Jeremiah 29 specifically is where we find the reference that Daniel actually read. Jeremiah 29 in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. And you know the rest of it, for you know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. That scripture that we love, Jeremiah 29:11, was attached to God's promise through Jeremiah to return the captives back to Jerusalem. And that's what Daniel read. And when he read that, he knew that it was the will of God to bring breakthrough and return Israel home. Hallelujah. He knew breakthrough was coming because it was based upon the word of God. Are you getting this? The most effective praying that we can do is praying according to the will of God. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So before you start praying, the first thing that you want to do is you want to get a word from God's word about your situation. A word from God's word for your situation. Now, I'm not talking about listening to some parking lot prophet that's out there. And I'm not against prophets. I'm not against prophecy. And I'm not talking about a dream that you got last night. And I'm not against dreams. Okay? What I am against is prophets and dreams that are not supported by the Word of God. Because every prophetic utterance you get and every prophet who says, I have a thus saith the Lord, or every dream that you have has to be measured by the word of God. And so you could say to that prophet, thank you very much, I appreciate that, but I need to go to the word to back this up. And if you can't back it up in the word, my friend, then just cross it out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to get a word because the word, the Bible, the scripture is our authority. And everything must line up to that, right? So if you're praying for a breakthrough for your unsaved family, you have a word from God's word. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your whole household. You have a word from God's word for your family. Hallelujah. Amen? You can go to the Lord and you can say, Lord, I'm standing on your word. Lord, you said this. Lord, I say this to the Lord. I say, Lord, you said, I didn't make this up. Lord, you said it, Lord. You said it. The only reason I'm here, God, is because you said it. If you didn't say it, I wouldn't be here, but I'm here because you said it. You said that if I would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be saved and my household. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know your will. Let your will be done in my household as it is in heaven. Maybe you're praying through financial struggles. Malachi 3:10, there's a word from God's word for you. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's a word from God's word for your situation. What does that mean? That means that I can pray for the windows to open. I have no problems praying for the windows to open up. Hello? Why? Because the word of God says it. It's a word from God's word for my situation. So I said, listen, don't go to the Lord whining and complaining and grousing and saying, I don't know what it is. I keep paying my tithe and I don't have any breakthrough. And you need to go to the Lord. Listen, what does it say in Hebrews? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time. Don't come sheepishly. Don't come apologetically. Come boldly and saying, Lord, you have opened the door of access to the throne. The veil of the temple has been torn in two. Lord, I can come right to your throne. And I can ask what I need, Lord, according to your word. Hallelujah. Get a word from his word. Maybe you're praying for a job. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's God's will that you have a job. I said, it's God's will that you have a job. Amen? And that doesn't mean you sit at home twiddling your thumbs and think, well, if it was God's will, somebody will call me. No. Doesn't work that way. You got to sharpen up your resume. You got to make some phone calls. Amen. You got to do your part. God will do the rest. Amen. You can't expect God to do in the supernatural what he tells you to do in the natural. Right? Amen. Okay. But you can go to God. After you sent your resume out, you made those phone calls. You got an edge. There might be 150 people applying for that position, but you know what? They may not all have Jesus. You have an edge. And you can say, Lord, in the name, you said, Lord, it's your will that I have a job, Lord, so I can provide for my family. So I'm standing on your word, Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, open up the door and give me favor here, God. Your word says that you will surround the righteous with favor like a shield. Lord, bring some of that favor on me right now so that, Lord, my life can align with your perfect will for my life so that I can have a job and provide for my family. You need a word from God's word for your situation. You need healing by his stripes. Amen? By his stripes, Lord. I wouldn't be asking, Lord, but you told me, God. You're the one who told me, Lord. It's by your stripes I'm healed, God. Amen. Get a word. Breakthrough begins with a word from God's word for your situation. So after Daniel, sitting there as a captive and a slave in Babylon, got a word from God's word. Look what he did, verse 3. Then, after I read Jeremiah and I saw God's will, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. After Daniel realized the word of God, which was based on realized the will of God, which was based on the word of God, he didn't just sit back passively and say, well, we'll just, you know, if God's going to do it, he's going to do it. I'm just going to wait for the deliverance to come. Daniel knew that he had to pray. He had a job to do. He had a duty. He had a responsibility. He had been given a place of prayer, and he needed to exercise that authority. So the second thing that we need to know about breakthrough, the first one is you need to know the word. The second one is you need to know your authority. You need to know your authority. Know the access that you have been given and why you have been given that. You see, some people say, well, if I know it's God's will, why do I have to pray? I mean, he's sovereign. If God wants to bless me with a new job, if he wants to heal my body, if he wants to save my kids, why doesn't he just do it sovereignly? Why does he want me to pray first? Well, many years ago, there was a leader in the church. His name was Augustine. And he said this, quote, in calling us to prayer, God extends to us the dignity of being causes. In calling us to prayer, God extends to us the dignity of being causes. You see, God could do it on his own, but he wants us to be in cooperation with him. He wants us to be co-laborers with him. He invites us to participate in his work. You see, God has put us in this world to interact with this world and to make an impact in this world by being an agent of causing his will to happen. This is what redemption is all about. To be redeemed means that you have been bought back. It means that you have been purchased at a price. It means that you have been given value. Value has been restored. So now, as a member of the body of Christ, you're not just somebody who sits passively by. No, you are a person who brings value to the kingdom of God. You are a person who has been given authority. You have been given access. You have been given a new name. You have been made royalty by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God has given you value. He has given you dignity by allowing you to be a co-laborer together with Him in the establishment of His will on the earth. By calling us to prayer, He has given us the dignity of being causes. In other words, it's when we pray, Lord, let your will be done, that His will is done. We cause. Are you getting this? We cause. God has a will in heaven. He lets us know what that will is. He shows us in the Word. He shows us His will, and then He waits. What does He wait for? He waits for us who have been given the dignity of being causes. To say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Lord, thy will be done in my family as it is in heaven, in my child's life as it is in heaven, in my church as it is in heaven, in my job as it is. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. This is our duty as co-laborers with God, agents of kingdom authority. We are to cause or to initiate God's will on earth through prayer. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? I think so. Amen, Pastor Greg. Sorry, sometimes I have to preach to myself. It's okay. Daniel knew it was God's will to do this thing, but he didn't sit back and say, well, if it's God's will. No, he understood that he, Daniel, had a role to play in the plan of God. In fact, this is why you'll see that Daniel was such a passionate prayer warrior. In Daniel chapter 6, it talks about how he prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day he prayed. Even though he knew what God's will was, even though he knew we're about to hit that 70-year mark, even though he knew that at 70 years God said, I'm going to bring the captives home, Daniel knew God would not act unless someone prayed. Now, where did Daniel get this understanding? Pastor Greg, where are you getting this from? You're connecting all these dots. It sounds like, you know, you're reading some stuff into the scripture here. How do you know that Daniel knew that this is how God was going to work? I'll tell you how I knew. It goes all the way back to the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles. You see, we interpret scripture with scripture, right? During the reign of King Solomon, you see, Israel had been incredibly blessed by God. They had become the most powerful nation, the richest nation, and they had built this beautiful temple for the presence of God. And all of Israel had been called to gather at Jerusalem there for this huge dedication ceremony. And during the dedication ceremony, Solomon prayed a prayer for the temple. And one of the things he said was this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36, all the way to 39. He said, when the people, see, he's praying to God now, okay, they're standing before the temple, and he says, Lord, when the people of Israel sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near. Solomon was the wisest man on earth, and he knew that in time Israel would make bad choices and God would have to punish them. And in verse 37 he says, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity. You see, this is exactly where Daniel is, in the land of captivity with the people of Israel. Verse 38, and they pray toward their land which you gave to their fathers and toward the temple which I have built for your name. Verse 39, then he says, then God, hear from heaven and forgive your people who have sinned against you. And in verse 25, he actually says, and bring them back to the land which you gave them and their fathers. He foresaw that the time would come when Israel would offend God, be defeated by their enemies and taken away captive. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly where Daniel was. And then in chapter 7, we see that the Lord answered Solomon's prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. How many are still with me? Amen? All right? 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Verse 14. If my people, so you all know this verse, right? Who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their Amen. You see, we all love this scripture and we quote it and we talk about, you know, our nation and we should. And I believe that there are various applications for scripture. And so this scripture has a broad application. But specifically, its original intention, it was given as a specific promise to Israel of how God would restore them if they were ever taken away in captivity. God was saying, Solomon, yes, in answer to your prayer, if Israel is defeated and taken away in captivity, if my people in captivity who humble themselves and pray and turn, did you hear that? Humble themselves and pray and turn from their ways, I will hear and I will heal. Amen? Daniel understood. See, he's putting scripture together. He understood that prayer played a significant role in the plan of God. It was God's will to bring the Jews back to their homeland. And he knew that God wanted to do it after 70 years, which was just about to happen. But he knew also the condition that somebody needed to pray. Prayer plays a significant role in the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the causes. Are you hearing this today? Oh, sure, there are things that God does sovereignly that we don't even know about, but there are things happening right around us in our lives that we recognize and we discern that God wants to do something there. And God shows us, I want to do this thing. We read it in His Word, and I want to. And that knowledge that we have, we're now accountable for. You see, listen, God doesn't give you burdens and show you things about people and about the church and about the nation just so you can complain and grouse about. He gives you those burdens because He wants you to pray. Why does He want you to pray? Because you've been given authority. Why is He giving you authority? Because you are a cause agent for the will of God to be established in this earth. You're a cause agent. Hallelujah. God wills, and then He waits. Know who you are in Christ and know your authority, that through Christ you have direct access to God. Hebrews 4:16, let me say it again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. James says, you have not because you ask not. God's standing there in heaven. He's saying, I have so much for you. I have willed so much for you. And it's all right here in your word. All you have to do is say, my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will. How many of us are suffering needlessly? How many of our children are suffering needlessly? How many of us are missing out on the financial blessings and all that God wants to flow through our lives, not for our personal aggrandizement, but for the furtherance of His kingdom? How many marks are we missing in the gospel today around the world because we just failed to ask? You have not because you ask not. John 14:14, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, not anything in the sense that anything goes. Okay? Anything in the sense that what is God's will? And how do we know what God's will is? Because we have His Word. Amen? So, we need to know God's Word and we need to know our authority. But just because you know God's Word, and just because you start praying His Word and His will into your life, doesn't mean it's going to come easily. How many have discovered this to be true? Yes. And why does it not come easily? Because you need to be aware of the third thing. Know there is an enemy. Know His Word, know your authority, but know there is there's an enemy. So Daniel knows the will of God because he read it in God's word. He goes to prayer and fasting to cause the will of God to be released. But we see that the will of God does not come easy. Go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 5. So here's Daniel, he's praying, he's fasting, 3 weeks, 21 days of hunger. 21 days of hunger. Verse 5, he says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. So he's praying now, and he has this vision. Verse 6, he describes this vision of this man who is actually an angel. He says, his body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. This is an angelic appearance. And we know that even more because in Daniel chapter 9, he talks more about this, and the angel actually gives him his name as Gabriel. Then go down to verse 12. Look at what the angel, so he's fasting and he's praying for God's will to be done, for Israel to return to their homeland. And look at what the angel says. He says, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, day one. How many remember day one of 21 days of hunger? Come on, you remember day one? I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray and fast. And by day three, you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know about this. Right? Day one. Everybody say day one. Day one. Day one. He says this, do not fear, Daniel. From day one that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard on day one. And I have come because of your words. In other words, he says, on the first day, when you determined your 21 days of hunger, all of heaven went into motion on your behalf. You didn't see it. You didn't hear it. You couldn't feel it. There's no way you would discern it. But I'm here to tell you that you started a fight up here. Something happens when we pray that does not happen when we don't pray. He said, all of heaven went into motion on your behalf. And then in verse 13, look at what he says. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael the archangel, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So from the first day, Daniel started praying and fasting. Heaven went into motion. How many believe that for your situation? How many believe it? Amen? Come on, where's your faith, church? How many believe that? We're not just speaking into the air. We have a God who hears our prayer. Hallelujah. Amen, I like that. We're not just speaking into the air. We have a God who hears our prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. That was the Holy Ghost. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, what is that? Angels were dispatched. The power of God was moving to align things with God's will on behalf of Daniel's prayers, right? But the enemy was countering. Now watch this. Prince of Persia, what is that? I believe it's a reference to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The prince of Persia. That's talking about a demonic force that was resisting everything that heaven was trying to put in place as a result of Daniel's prayers. He said, he withstood me 21 days. 21 days. But what made the difference was Daniel's praying. He didn't give up. He didn't stop. Even when nothing seemed to change, even when it didn't get better, even when you look at everything with your physical eyes, it just seems to be the same, even getting worse. He kept praying. Church, this is why perseverance is so important in prayer. It says that Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. On the first day, the angel said, We started moving on your behalf. Imagine if Daniel had given up on the fifth day. Imagine if he gave up on the 10th day or the 14th day. Today's day 14 of our 21 days of hunger. But he didn't stop. He kept pressing in. Hallelujah. Kept pressing in. Understand something. As you're praying for that breakthrough, the enemy's going to fight back. There is an enemy. Amen? The prince of Persia withstood me. And then he says, and then Michael came to help. I mean, we're talking about a wrestling match going on up there. I don't mean to read too much into this and speculate. I mean, this sounds like there's a real rumble going on up there. I had to get my bros from the hood to come over and help me. I mean, the devil came. I mean, this prince of Persia came up getting all up in my stuff. And I had to call. I said, Mike, you better get out of here. And Michael came. Michael shows up and says, you want some of this? You talking to me? Hallelujah. I don't understand it all. I just have a creative imagination, that's all. Amen. You ever notice you pray for your kids and your kids get worse? Yeah, you ever notice you pray for your finances and maybe they do cutbacks at work and you lose your job? You ever notice you pray for healing in your body and you start to feel more pain and the doctor gives you an even worse report? How many know what I'm talking about? Listen, don't be discouraged. Don't despair. All that is the prince of Persia, so to speak, hypothetically, rising up against you. Don't pull back. Don't withdraw. Don't quiet down. Now's not the time to get quiet. When you feel the resistance, it's the time to push harder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus said in Luke 18:8, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? Will he really find faith? Because faith isn't getting God to give you what you want. Faith is remaining steadfast and trusting him when you don't get what you want. Amen. Amen. That's faith. Hallelujah. That's faith. Amen? So as we continue in this last week in our 21 days of hunger, push. Come on, just tell somebody, push. Pray until something happens. Because when you have a promise in God's word, you're standing on his eternal authority. And you have been given access to the throne. And you can come boldly. You come and you push. And you push. And understand the enemy will fight you. But don't give up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me close with this scripture as we stand together. Let's all stand. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Hallelujah. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of lights. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this 21 days of praying and fasting. Lord God, as we stand upon these areas of crisis and challenge, Lord, we look to your word for assurance. Lord, I pray, God, for every person who's doing this 21 days of hunger, that you'll give them a word from your word. A word from your word about their situation. And I pray, God, that you will release a spirit of faith, God. A spirit of faith upon us, Lord. To be able to stand boldly before the throne of grace and to say, Lord, I'm only here because of what your word says, God. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done. I pray, God, let there be a boldness in our faith this last week, God. In the name of Jesus. I want to close the service.